Welcome to Psalm 91 Dispatch. I'm your host, Ori Reem, and I found something really interesting on the internet. It's a testimony of John G. Lake, how I came to devote my life to the ministry of healing. I want you to listen to this because I read this and this blessed me. This is an amazing testimony. So here we go. No one could understand the tremendous hold that the revelation of Jesus as a present-day healer took on my life and what it meant to me unless they understood my environment. I was one of 16 children. Our parents were strong, vigorous, healthy people. My mother died at the age of 75, and my father still lives and is 77. Before my knowledge and experience of the Lord as our healer, we buried 8 members of the family. A strange train of sickness resulting in death had followed the family, and for 32 years, some members of the family was an invalid. The home was never without the shadow of sickness during all this long period. When I think back over my boyhood and young manhood, there comes to my mid-remembrances like a nightmare of sicknesses, doctors, nurses, hospitals, hearses, funerals, graveyards, and tombstones. A sorrowing household, broken-hearted mother, and grief-stricken father, struggling to forget the sorrows of the past in order to assist the living members of the family who needed their love and care. At the time Christ was revealed to us as our healer, my brother, who had been an invalid for 22 years and upon whom father had spent a fortune for unavailing medical assistance, was dying. He bled incessantly from his kidneys and was kept alive through assimilation of blood, creating foods almost as fast as it flowed from his person. I've never known any other man to suffer so extremely and as long as he did. A sister, 34 years of age, was then dying with 5 cancers in her left breast, having been operated on 5 times at Harper's Hospital, Detroit, Michigan, by Dr. Karstens, a German surgeon of repute, and turned away to die. There was a large core cancer, and after the operations, 4 other heads developed, 5 in all. Another sister lay dying of an issue of blood. Gradually, day by day, her life blood flowed away until she was in the very throes of death. I had married and established my home. Very soon after our marriage, the same train of conditions that had followed my father's family appeared in mine. My wife became an invalid form, heart disease, and tuberculosis. She would lose her heart action and lapse in unconsciousness. Sometimes I would find her lying unconscious on the floor, having been suddenly stricken, sometimes in her bed. Stronger and stronger stimulants became necessary in order to revive the action of the heart, until finally we were using nitroglycerin tablets as a final heroic effort to stimulate heart action. After these heart spells, she would remain in a semi-paralytic state for weeks, the result of overstimulation, the physician said. But in the midst of the deepest darkness, when baffled physicians stood back and acknowledged their inability to help, when the darkness and death was again hovering over the family, suddenly the light of God broke through into her soul. Through the message of one godly minister, great enough and true enough to God to proclaim the whole truth of God, we took our brother who was dying to a healing home in Chicago. Prayer was offered for him with the laying on of hands, and he received an instant healing. He arose from his dying cot and walked 4 miles, returned to his home and to a partnership in our father's business, a well man. Great joy and a marvelous hope sprang up in our hearts. A real manifestation of the healing power of God was before us. Quickly we arranged to take our sisters with her, five cancers, to the same healing home, carrying her on a stretcher. She was taken into the healing meeting. Within her soul, she said, "Others may be healed because they are good. I have not been a good Christian like others. They may be healed because of their goodness, but I fear healing is not for me." It seemed more than her soul could grasp. After listening from her cot to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God on healing through Jesus Christ, hope sprang up in her soul. She was prayed for and hands laid on her. As the prayer of faith arose to God, the power of God descended upon her, thrilling her being. Her pain instantly vanished. The swelling disappeared gradually. The large core cancer turned black and in a few days fell out. The smaller ones disappeared. The mutilated breast began to regrow and became a perfect breast again. How our hearts thrilled. Words cannot tell this story. A new faith sprang up within us. If God could heal our dying brother and our dying sister and cause cancers to disappear, he could heal anything or anybody. Our sister, with the issue of blood, began to look to God for her healing. Herself and husband were devout Christians, but though they prayed for a time, prayer seemed unanswered, until one night I received a phone call saying that if I wished to see her in life, I must come to her bedside at once. On arriving, I found that death was already upon her. She had passed in unconsciousness. The body was cold. No pulsation was discernible. Our parents knelt by her bedside weeping, and her husband knelt at the foot of her bed in sorrow. Her baby lay in his crib. A great cry to God, such as had never come from my soul before, went up to God. She must not die. She could not die. I would not have it. Had not Christ died for her? Had not God's healing power been manifested for the others? And should not she not likewise be healed? No words of mine could convey to another soul the cry that was in my heart, and the flame of hatred for death and sickness that the Spirit of God stirred within me. The very wrath of God seemed to possess my heart. We called on God after telephoning and telegraphing believing friends assisting in prayer. I rebuked the power of death in the name of Jesus Christ. In less than an hour, we rejoiced to see evidence of returning life. She was thoroughly healed, and 5 days later, she came to Father's home and joined the family at a Christmas dinner. My wife, who has been slowly dying for years and suffering untold agonies, was the last of the four to receive God's healing touch. But oh, ere God's power came upon her, I realized, as I never had before, the character of consecration God was asking, and that a Christ should give to God day by day. Death silently stole over her until the final hours had come. A brother minister was present. He went and stood by her bedside and returning to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Come and walk." And together we strolled out into the moonlight. He said to me, "Brother Lake, be reconciled to the will of God," meaning by that, as most all ministers do, be reconciled to let your wife die. I thought of my babies. I thought of her whom I loved as my own soul, and a flame burned in my heart. I felt as if God had been insulted by such a suggestion. Yet, I had many things to learn. In the midst of my soul storm, I returned to my home, picked up my Bible from the mantelpiece, threw it on the table, and if ever God caused a man's Bible to open to a message that his soul needed, surely he did then for me. The book opened at the 10th chapter of Acts, and my eyes fell on the 38th verse, which read, "Jesus Christ, anointed by God of the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Like a flash from the blue, these words like a flash from the blue, these words pierced my heart, oppressed of the devil. Then God was not the author of sickness, and the people whom Jesus healed had not been made sick by God. Hastily taking a reference to another portion of the word, I read again from the words of Jesus in Luke 13. Ought not this woman whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond? Once again, Jesus attributed sickness to the devil. What a faith sprang up in my heart, and what a flame of intelligence concerning the word of God and the ministry of Jesus went over my soul. I saw as never before why Jesus healed the sick. He was doing the will of his Father, and in doing his Father's will was destroying the work of the devil. Hebrews 2:14. In my soul I said, this work of the devil, this destruction of my wife's life, in the name of Jesus Christ shall cease. For Christ died and himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We decided on 9:30 a.m. as an hour when prayer should be offered for her recovers. And again, I telephoned and telegraphed friends to join me in prayer at that hour. At 9:30, I knelt at her dying bed and called on the living God. The power of God came upon her, thrilling her from head to foot. Her paralysis was gone. Her heart became normal. Her cough ceased. Her breathing was regular. Her temperature was normal. The power of God was flowing through her person, seemingly like blood flows through the veins. When I prayed, I heard a sound from her lips, not the sound of a blank, as formerly, but now a strong voice. And she cried out, "Praise God, I am healed." With that, I caught the bed clothing, threw them back from her, and in a moment was out on the floor. What a day! Will I ever forget it? When the power of God thrilled our souls and the joy of God possessed our hearts at her recovery. The news spread throughout the city and the state and the nation. The newspapers discussed it. Our home became a center of inquiry. People traveled for great distances to see her and to talk with her. She was flooded with letters of inquiry. A great new light has dawned in our soul. Our church had diligently taught us that the day of miracles were past. Believing thus, 8 members of the family had been permitted to die. But now, with the light of truth flashing in our hearts, we saw that such teaching was a lie, no doubt invented by the devil, and diligently heralded as truth by the church, thus robbing mankind of its rightful inheritance through the blood of Jesus. Others came to our home. They said, "Since God has healed you, surely he will heal us. Pray for us." We were forced into it. God answered, and many were healed. Many years have passed since then, but no day has gone by in which God has not answered prayer. People have been healed, not by ones and twos, nor by hundreds, or even thousands, but by tens of thousands. For I have devoted my life, day and night, to this ministry. In due time, God called me to South Africa, where I witnessed such a manifestation of the healing power of God as perhaps the world has not seen since the days of the apostles. Christian men were baptized in the Holy Ghost and went forth in the mighty power of God, proclaiming the name of Jesus, laying their hands on the sick, and they were healed. Sinners witnessed these evidences of the power of God, cried out in gladness, and gave themselves to the service of God. Like as it was in the days of Jesus, there was great joy in that city and that nation. Finally, God brought me to Spokane, where we have ministered to from 200 to 500 sick per week. The city is filled with the praises of God because of the blessed manifestation of God's healing power everywhere. People have come from 1,000 miles for healing. Some have written letters, others have telegraphed, and some have cabled from halfway around the world for prayer, and God has graciously answered. Ministers and churches throughout the land have seen that. Though the church has taught that the days of miracles only belonging to the times of the apostles, the statement was a falsehood, and that the healing power of God is as available to the honest soul today as it was in the days of Christ on earth, and that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and that Jesus is still the healer. That is an incredible story. And I just want to say to everybody listening to this right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray and believe, Lord, for the impossible in our lives. Because you say in your word, for man, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now for your manifestation in all areas of our life. We pray and believe to have faith like a mustard seed, that with little water and with the word of God and the testimony of who we are in Jesus, that these things will become manifest in our lives. And I command all demonic altars to be destroyed that have placed themselves against me in Jesus' name. I pray that those altars become null and void and powerless in Jesus' name. I pray the blood of Jesus over those demonic altars that have been placed against me and my family and my church and those that are listening in Jesus' name. We pray for the fire, the Holy Spirit fire, to fall upon these altars. For any of those people who are taking part in this wickedness in Jesus' name. And we pray for their souls right now, Lord. I pray for them to get saved in Jesus' name. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that any witch, warlock, wizard, sorcerer, root worker that has placed their will against me or my friends, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for the fear of God upon their heads. And I pray for Holy Spirit fire right now in Jesus' name to burn them up in Jesus' name. I pray that their demons will shout and scream and burn in agony in Jesus' name. And I pray for the power of God to fall upon them in Jesus' name. I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, that your spirit will flow through them and they will have a conviction of their heart like never before. That, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will be given a choice to surrender to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You see, what this John G. Lake man did was he realized the power of God. And that same power is within you right now. If you're a Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have this power within you right now. This is how he did it, by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not anything you got to do. You just got to believe. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we cancel all demonic attacks against me and anybody listening right now in Jesus' name. And I commission a warring angel, Father, from heaven to be sent to every listener right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, we just cancel all demonic plans against the testimonies of the believers in Jesus. And we pray for the peace of God to fall upon all believers in Jesus' name, right now in Jesus' name. I just pray and believe this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was, I read it earlier and it was so powerful. So be blessed. Listen to it. And yes, enjoy. Amen.